Those of you who are careful observers will notice that we're doing a lot of things differently today. And recognition of that, I decided I would do something different and write my homily, not even a sermon today, but a homily, in Emeryville. It's a town that never even started to cross my mind until I moved to Oakland. And now, for the most part, I don't know how Emeryville interacts with you in your life, but mostly for me, Emeryville is the place I go to shop at Target and then feel guilty because I am not supporting a small business who pays sales tax into Oakland's coffers. But there is a street in Emeryville that's called Hollis Street. And it's a street that I discovered when I was trying to find a way to avoid traffic on 580. And I love it. Hollis has a lot of really interesting buildings. Some of them are renovated industrial buildings that date back to the early decades of the 20th century, and other buildings are new and made with really cool architectural design. Also, along Hollis Street, there's a lot of really great public art. And so what I decided to do was I decided I would park my car on Hollis Street and walk down Hollis Street until I found a good cafe. Well, luckily, there aren't any good cafes in Hollis Street. And I say it's lucky because the lack of coffee shops meant that I had to walk all over Emeryville. And it was an unexpected treat because the buildings and art along Hollis Street and to a lesser extent other places in Emeryville were even better on foot than they are in a car. And here's what happens to me when I'm in well-designed spaces with a lot of beautiful art or in cities with great architecture. Suddenly, I start noticing beauty, even where beauty wasn't necessarily intended. Suddenly, things that might not otherwise catch my attention or that might be mundane, they suddenly become interesting to me. And maybe this happens to everyone. I don't know. But I think this, by the way, is what makes Italy such a great place to visit. The art and the architecture in Italy are so amazing that it's catching. A person doesn't need to be in Italy long before even paint peeling on a wall looks beautiful. This may be why there are so many Roman Catholics in the world. Sometimes it's hard not to believe that God is Italian. I believe we live in a world of wonder and beauty. And when we're properly inspired, when our eyes are opened and our spirits are calibrated, we will find wonder and beauty in all sorts of places. And sometimes that beauty and that wonder will surprise us with unexpected joy. And when that happens, we know that we've arrived in a place where we belong. A place we may call home, even if it's only temporarily. Because places of beauty and wonder are places where we can be ourselves. In the presence of beauty, we can take off all of our pretensions, and we can lose all of the masks behind which we hide, and our souls can be renewed. The prophet who wrote this morning's lesson from Isaiah lived in and spoke for a community that longed to feel at home. These words came out of the experience of former residents of Jerusalem who had been taken from their homes and forced to live in exile in the city of Babylon. It was a place where they felt they didn't belong. The language and the food and the customs all felt foreign and strange to them. It was a place at which they arrived after a long and arduous forced journey over mountains and down into valleys and across rough places. And the promise of the prophetic word was this: you will go home. And when you go home, the way will be easy, because every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill will be made low, and the rough places will be made plain. And if you don't know the way home, the God who is your shepherd will guide you as a shepherd guides a flock. You will return home, and the way will be made easy. And the prophetic word to us at Advent is this: insofar as you feel disconnected from all that is wonderful and beautiful, insofar as you live in exile, the God who is your shepherd will lead you home to a place of beauty, a place that makes everything seem lovely. Now, I've mentioned the phenomenon that happens in the presence of beauty when, for example, you see a beautiful building and suddenly even a drain pipe seems interesting. I think there's a similar thing that happens when we feel completely at home. Suddenly, the concept of home expands and we become more hospitable. I think you will find that the most hospitable people are those who feel most comfortable in their homes. And those who've experienced the grace of a God who makes the way home easy, these people will participate in that grace. They will want to help others find an easy way home, a home to a place of comfort and nurture and peace and joy and beauty and wonder. Now, over the last few months, but especially in the last 2 weeks, our nation has been having to confront the fact that not everyone feels at home in America. It seems that every few days we hear of another unarmed African-American male who has been killed by white police officers who face little in the way of accountability for their actions. And as a result, a lot of us have been talking about the fact that the American justice system seems to place a lower value on black lives than it does upon white lives. We've been talking about how the United States incarcerates black men something like 4 times as much per capita as did South Africa under apartheid. These are conversations we need to keep having. We also need to talk about how black and brown children don't matter as much in the American public educational system as do their white counterparts. And if you doubt me, look at the difference between schools in Marin County and East Oakland. We also need to talk about the fact that black and brown souls don't matter as much to American Protestant churches as do white souls. White Protestant churches left and abandoned the inner cities as soon as black and brown people started moving in. We need to talk about this. And we need to keep having these conversations. And as we have these conversations, we will be starting the work of welcoming the exiles home, making smooth a path of return for folks who long to experience the wonder and beauty that those of us who live in privilege are lucky enough to experience every day. It's wonder that leads to more wonder, and beauty that inspires the creation of more beauty. Now, in Christian churches, the great expression of welcome is the communion table, where we are invited as God's children to be at home, to eat together, and to be in fellowship together, and to know the beauty of God's grace together. And as we come to the table today in this Advent season, let us dedicate ourselves to the work of living in a world where the way home to this table and all it represents is made straight and smooth for all God's children. For this is the Lord's table. And our Savior invites all the lambs in God's flock to join with many who would follow the light of a star, many who would hear the sound of angels singing, and who will come from north and south and east and west to sit at table in the kingdom of heaven, where Christ himself will serve us holy manna, and God will wipe every tear from every eye.